Welcome to Nice Ashes. I'm Nate.
And I'm Mike. What are we smoking today, Nate?
We are going to round out our four-cigar tour of the world's best, tastiest, handcrafted Rico Barato. And this is the Maduro Robusto. And we hated the Maduro Torpedo even more than the Connecticut Torpedo from the same brand. But neither of those two could come close to how much we hated the Connecticut Robusto. So Mike and I both have very high expectations of this cigar. And I've got some caviar and a nice charcuterie board ready to go. Got classical music playing in the background and all sorts of things, because this, I'm guessing, will be the pinnacle of cigar smoking.
I am so excited for this cigar. I think that we should have done this instead of the chosen cigar for the finale of season 3.
You know, you might be right, Mike.
Did you pick up your cigar, by the way?
I am going to go get it on Saturday. And I need to talk to you because there is a potential that we could do the season 3 finale in person.
Nice. I like it.
So we'll see. And you, the listener, will see as well, because I'm not going to tell you right now, because Mike and I haven't talked about it. And we're not going to talk about it right now, because we have a different topic for this episode outside of Nate and Mike's calendars. Do they align? Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. It all depends on Mercury, if it's in retrograde or not.
I thought you say the Mercury they find in fluorescent lamps, which is why if you have fluorescent lights at your house, you should get rid of them immediately. Upgrade to LED. Get rid of those old pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Tells you how my garage project's going.
Yes, I did not get a nasty taste off the cap, but I lit it and smoked it and got the nasty. Somehow it added an extra like burnt flavor. So before we were doing like
taken a puff yet, but I did toast the cap, and I'm getting the smell of burning plastic from it.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say, is they like somehow they took like smoking an ashtray from the Connecticut Robusto, and now they've added a whole other like burnt flavor to it. So it's really quite amazing how nasty they can make these things these days. I mean, this is top tier trolling or something. This is going to be a rough episode, everybody.
This is everything that I didn't like about the Connecticut.
And more, somehow. And more.
With a layer of burning tractor tires.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in Queens or something, and they're just burning piles of tires in the air. And you can't help but like inhale it.
This tastes like what a farm fire smells like.
Yeah, a farm fire out in the middle of fucking nowhere where the EPA has never heard of.
Right. Like, this smells like the kind of fire you light once it's dark.
God. Yeah. Oh, my God. This is the kind of fire that if it gets lit in my neighborhood, the cops show up and tell you to put it out.
I don't think a lot of people are burning tires in your neighborhood. At least not anymore.
Maybe, no, not 20 tires. Years ago. Yeah, well, at least a year or 2 years ago, we did have quite a few trash fires going. You know, it's just the burnt trash smell permeating the neighborhood. But
really? Oh, my God. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that.
It will shock and astound you. People are people everywhere, I guess.
You live in an awful nice neighborhood for people to have trash fires in their backyards.
Right? You would think.
Like, I burn cardboard, but I don't burn any, like, garbage, I guess.
Yeah.
If you want to consider cardboard garbage.
Oh, we don't burn cardboard or garbage. I mean.
Right. I have a fire pit.
Maybe the occasional, like, plastic cigar wrapper makes its way into the fire pit, but that's not enough for somebody to be like, oh my God, they're burning their household trash.
Yeah, I use the cardboard to light the fire and then burn wood on it. So, I think most everybody does that.
Yeah, they must have dried these tobacco leaves out over a tire fire or something.
It is not something I would recommend you get. Yeah. So if you're at the shittiest golf course on earth and they have Rico Barato cigars there, I would just suggest going out and fill in your bottle with pond water from the course and drinking that instead of smoking this cigar.
Yeah.
This is awful.
I once golfed at a course that didn't have greens. They had browns. And the greens were dirt, and they just poured a bunch of oil on there to make it firm.
Was that in Oklahoma?
No, this is not in Oklahoma. This is in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, they did that?
Hell yeah.
There's water there. Why would they do that?
Man, people's reasoning will astound you. I don't know why. I don't think I ever golfed in Oklahoma.
I golfed at a golf course that had AstroTurf instead of greens. And it actually worked really well, especially because there was not full-time staff at this particular golf course. It was like really rural.
Sure.
So it was really well-maintained, but you could tell that they didn't have the resources to have like greens. So they did the best
they could. Well, at least they knew that and put something in.
Yeah.
This cigar tastes like I imagine smoking AstroTurf would taste, I guess. The little rubber pellets and everything, you know?
Yeah. I almost don't want to drink a glass or a sip of my whiskey here because I don't want that horrible layer to like get washed out because I don't want to have to retaste it.
Well, yeah. Buckle up. We've got at least 42 minutes left of this cigar, I'm guessing, unless we end early, which is always a possibility. We've done that, I think, once so far. So
we'll see. We're going to try to finish this off, but hopefully I don't get sick.
Yeah, hopefully there's no more of these in season 4, 5, or beyond, Mike.
I'm sure there will be. Not any Rico Barados. I think
No more Rico Barados.
I don't want any more Rico
Barados. No. These things are not good at all.
Yeah, the Swisher Sweet cigarettes are better than this, for sure.
Yeah, literally probably the worst cigarette you could ever think of would be better than this.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a cigarette worse than this. And I've had like Southeast Asian cigarettes.
Yeah.
And they're pretty fucking bad.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, I've never smoked meth, but I have to feel like meth is better than this.
Yeah, this is like...
this is the cigar you give somebody you're trying to not get them into cigars. And you're like, I don't think you like cigars. This is one of the best cigars out there. And you give them this, and they're like, this is terrible.
Yeah, well, hey, boss man, here's a cigar for you.
They don't get any better than this, let me tell you.
Yeah. Hey, baby, why don't you try a cigar with me?
Yes.
Okay, so what are we going to discuss today, Nate?
All right, we're going to discuss an equally nasty topic, and it's going to be bullying. But it's going to be bullying in the realm of pre-K.
Well, I wonder why this topic has come up. Wink, wink,
nudge,
nudge.
It is very relevant in today's society, I guess. So my daughter started pre-K this year, and she's been liking it, but there's this child in her class that also rides her bus coming home, not on the way to school, but coming home, who has been hitting her and biting her and calling her names on the playground and things like that. So what is a modern man to do, Mike? What is a modern man to do?
Well, that's a rhetorical question, so.
Yeah, it is. It's a rhetorical question. I want to explain my logic and reasoning and rationale, because what I arrived upon drew, I don't know, adulation from a certain family member and looks of shock from another family member. So I feel I need to explain myself and my reasonings and my thought processes and explain kind of like what's been going on. And then we'll see kind of where it ends up going. So my daughter comes home. And to be fair, my daughter is above the 90th percentile in height and weight. Because I am also, I'm sure, above the 90th percentile in height and weight for my age group as well. But she came home and said a kid in her class hit her and was hitting her and stuff. And so I have been trying, and, you know, since we had our son, who is 3 years younger than our daughter, we've been working with her on kind of conflict resolution, especially since, you know, the one-year-old doesn't really understand a whole lot. He's making leaps and bounds for sure, but, you know, that's an age group that does he understand what you're saying or not? That is really open to debate. So I came up with 3 steps of conflict resolution with a hidden 4th that I was hoping to wait until she was like 6 or 7 at least, you know, to unveil. So the first step is, you know, tell the person to stop doing what they're doing, you know, whether that's her brother or somebody at school, you know, stop doing that. The second step is to remove yourself from that situation, you know, move away from it. And the third step is, you know, find an adult, you know, a parent, mom or dad, or a teacher, and tell them about the thing that's happening, right? Which sounds logical, I hope.
To me, it does.
Because I don't want a lot of violence and anger and stuff like that. You know, I want the system to work. I mean, it's, you know, 2024, almost 2025, and I feel like fighting on the playground or whatever probably shouldn't be a thing, especially for pre-K kids. So I was hoping to be able to model this, like, I don't know, let's call it a utopian ideal or something, right? This happened, and she would come home with marks and bruises and bite marks and stuff from this kid in her class. And we took pictures and all of that, of all of these, all this bodily harm that had been done to her. And I reached out to the teacher and I said, this is, you know, this kid is a problem and we need something to happen and all of that. And, you know, teacher was open and receptive. And we went into parent-teacher conferences. And the teacher shared with us that this student not only does this to my daughter, but to almost everybody else in the class. And that this student's parents have been talked to and all of that good stuff. And after we made the teacher aware, the incidents of it happening like in the classroom went down, but the playground and the bus still seemed to be an issue. So I sent an email to the principal of the school about this. And crickets, nothing, nada, for like 8 days. Over 8 days. Now, the school district has a zero bullying policy on their books and eight days without a response. So, and I should mention also that in Minnesota here, pre-K falls under the jurisdiction of not only the school district because the classes take place on school property, but also there's an early childhood education department that is also running in tandem with this. So after 8 days of not hearing back from the principal, I sent an email to the superintendent saying the principal doesn't respond to emails. And I told the superintendent, and I'm being a little sneaky here and maybe a little, I don't know. You decide what adjective you want to use. But I sent the superintendent and said, the principal hasn't responded to two of my emails. And right after I got done sending the one to the superintendent, I sent another one to the principal. So I was stacking the deck a little bit. I guess people have been shot for less, right, Mike?
That's right. I don't think you should have done that. I think you should have sent the second email and given it an hour.
Actually, I think what I did was I emailed the principal first, and then I gave it 5 minutes and emailed the superintendent.
Right. I don't know what the principal's day looks like, but I know what my day looks like. And
I understand. But the subject line was bullying incident at your school or something, right? So
right. I'm trying to be understanding. So
sure.
I will receive work emails and calls on weekends and holidays and after hours.
Yeah.
And I will respond to them as soon as I can on the next business day.
Yeah. But that's not 8 business days later, is it, Mike?
No. It's the next business day as soon as I can. Yeah. Usually before 9 to 10 in the morning.
Yes.
Right?
So I'm just saying, for everybody's awareness, I waited 8 days before following up. And 5 minutes after I emailed the superintendent, the principal was on the phone with me. Surprise, surprise. Because guess who doesn't like being told that their principal doesn't bother to read emails? And the principal was super apologetic about somehow missing the email that had bullying as the subject line and all of this. And so the principal said she was going to go down and talk to the teacher and find out what's going on and all of this and get right back to me and this shouldn't be allowed and blah, 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 right? All of the kind of the pandering stuff you'd expect from somebody who just got called onto the mat by their boss.
I'm sure that conversation did not go well.
For who? Me or them?
For the principal. I hope not.
I fucking hope not.
I'm going to guess. Yeah.
And so anyway, they, you know, we whatever, and they're like, yeah, I talked to the teacher, and they're gonna tell your daughter to, you know, sit right behind the bus driver on the bus and to not sit near this other child. And I said, that's unacceptable. My daughter hasn't done anything wrong. You tell my daughter she can sit anywhere on the goddamn bus she wants. This other kid needs to sit behind the bus driver and not sit near my daughter. We're not pandering to bullies. And the teacher sent me an email on the side and said, thank you for like standing up, you know, against this, whatever. And because I mean, like, right, like, why should my daughter have to change anything about her day? Because there's some bully in her class, right? I was going to use a stronger word, but I mean, they're all like 4 and 5, right?
Right. And we discussed this privately. And I remember on the school bus, if you were a problematic child, you had to sit in the front with the bus driver. And you sat in a seat alone with nobody else there. So
it's Brave New World, Mike. Just buckle up.
Right.
Here we go. Also, I want to tell you, I dropped my cigar into my ashtray, picked it up, didn't even like wipe any ash off of it, and smoked it. And it didn't change the taste at all. Not one bit. Still tastes the same. So
I have to tell you that I'm getting a little bit of a sick feeling in my stomach.
Yeah. It might be a call into work day for both of us tomorrow.
Not for me, but that would be lovely.
Yes. Yes, it could be. The point is that the principal seemed to be on board with trying to curtail this kind of behavior, and yet it persisted. And so I found a form on the school district website that you can fill out anonymously if you so choose. I chose not to fill it out anonymously. I put down who I was and who my daughter was and who the kid that was harassing my child was, and submitted it to the school district. And then I proceeded to email the entirety of the school board and the executive whatever the fuck of student life or something. I don't exactly remember what his title is. And said, this is happening and this needs to stop. In the interim, and this is where I started getting different reactions from people. Because up until now, everybody's been on my side. But after I introduced the fourth step of my three-step conflict resolution plan to my daughter, people have started to either fully support me or kind of like distance themselves from me. And the fourth step is, if none of the previous three steps work, you hit them and you beat them like a drum until an adult pulls you off.
Yes, and we discussed that, and yes. I will again say that I support that. Now, you don't have to answer my question.
Yes.
But is there a gender divide amongst the people who reacted positively and negative? Because...
No.
No. Okay.
A generational divide.
Interesting. Okay.
So to be clear, my dad was very supportive, but he grew up fighting at school all the time. But he, you know, he was born in the 60s, so go figure. And my youngest brother was shocked and awed that I would mention that because he and I had a conversation and his son is also getting bullied at daycare. But he was not cuckoo ca-choo Mrs. Robinson with my fourth step.
Now, is the root cause of the bullying the same? Root cause, that's the wrong way to put it. Is your brother's kid also going to be a very tall person?
Likely so. Like, my brother is only, I think, half an inch or an inch shorter than I am.
Yeah. No,
I'm 6'6", so.
I believe I've met your brother.
Yes. His wife is a little shorter than my wife, but she's still fairly tall. I mean, she's not not a hobbit or anything.
That was a leading question, but.
Well, it's your witness. It's your witness.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Interesting. I'm surprised that he had that reaction, but.
Well, we grew up in the same household and had differing opinions of what was going on, perhaps. He also was there for more of the worst parts of the divorce. So, I don't know. I mean, I know there's a pretty huge difference between the oldest and the youngest, even in families that don't get divorced and whatever, all that stuff, right? So, like, I get it. But one of, I've got a quote somewhere, and I was reading this book, not one we're doing on the show, I don't think, but it was, this quote really, it stuck out to me so much that I wrote it down. And one of the characters in the book goes, "I don't think of myself as a violent man, but I am surely a child of my time, as we all must be." And I'm not about to have my daughter grow through life not being able to defend herself. And I wanted to model to her other means than violence to resolve issues. And there are, I don't know, more wars than anyone could possibly ever count, perhaps, that would give people reason to believe otherwise. But there are also a lot of instances where, you know, talking and going through the appropriate channels avoids a lot of conflict. So I was leaning heavily towards the second one where there'd be no conflict and it would be handled. So I fill out this form, Mike, this bullying complaint form. And this is where you and I haven't talked about this. So this will be news to you. I filled out the bullying complaint form. I emailed the entirety of the school board and I got some responses back. And one of those ended up taking the lead and was like, "Well, okay, we take bullying very seriously here at this district and you need to fill out one of these forms." And I said, "Well, I filled out that form like 3 days ago. Do I need to fill out a second one?" And their response was, "Oh, no, that's our mistake. No, of course you don't have to fill out a second one." And so it's like, well, how inept are these people? Like, how inept are these people? I fill out the form. Shouldn't that kick off the bureaucratic machine to stop the bullying? The answer is no.
With any bureaucracy, they probably didn't look into it before they responded.
Of course they didn't.
Just to try to save time. If you didn't,
Well, to save time or hope the problem went away. I do that at work all the time. I don't respond to things and hope it goes away. Why didn't you do that? I hoped you'd forget about it and I could move on with my life. It's a dumb request. Why would I do that? But this is bullying, and they have a zero tolerance policy on this.
As they should.
Explicitly stated. But here's where it gets even better, Mike. Here's where it gets even better. So they decide they're going to launch their investigation, right? So once they get the form, they're supposed to have a maximum of like 3 days to do an investigation and present their findings. So I need to find out if I can figure out when I submitted the form and when they presented me their findings. But anyway, so then I had a meeting, and it was supposed to be the principal, the assistant superintendent, who's a peach, by the way, and somebody from the early childhood development. And it was mostly run by this older lady, the assistant superintendent. The principal said she couldn't possibly make the meeting. She had another meeting she had to go to about something else. I don't know. Naming the elementary school football stadium or something, I'm sure. Anyway, she couldn't make it. This older lady who ran the thing, and this is where I got a little salty, Mike. I don't know if you've ever known me to get salty.
I've never heard of it.
But I did. And I'll admit that up front. I'm going to admit that up front. So what happens is this older lady, the assistant superintendent, comes and says, yes, we spoke with all the parties involved, and we can't divulge what was spoken about. Student-teacher confidentiality or some shit, right? Like, I don't even know the last name of this kid that's the bully, because they won't tell you. They won't tell you anything, which is probably for the best. But it's frustrating. And what she said was, we did this investigation, and we found out that these incidents, it's not bullying. It's not bullying. And I said, oh, well, do share. Explain to me how this is not bullying. Does their initial assessment concern you at all, Mike?
It sounds to me like typical school BS where they're trying to protect the wrongdoer and make themselves feel and look good. Because denial of a problem in public schools is a long-standing tradition that appears to be continuing in local area.
Do you have any inklings on why this does not qualify as bullying, Mike?
I'm trying to think of something, but I can't.
Okay.
I
assure you their reasoning will astound you. They said because this student has been doing this to everyone in the classroom, it doesn't classify as bullying, which in their mind is singling somebody out, even though their stated definition of bullying on the website is causing physical harm to somebody else. Because this student is hitting, biting, name-calling everybody else in the class of seven. There are three adults in the class and seven children. They're not a bully. So did I accept that, Mike, or did I give them a salty, spicy response?
I'm going to guess that you gave them a spicy response.
Ding, 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 ding. What I told them was, I said, oh, so he's not a bully because he's doing it to everyone in the classroom. So by your logic, Hitler was a great guy because he attacked all of Europe and not just the Jews.
Did you really fucking say that?
I fucking said that.
Oh, dude, that is bad.
And she said, well, I don't know about that, but we're talking about what's happening in the classroom. And I said, no, you're telling me because he also burned homosexuals and blacks in the ovens that there was no Holocaust? Is that what you're telling me right now?
God, I hope you, God, you did not actually say that, dude.
Of course I fucking said that. Their logic is fucking retarded.
I understand that. But the second you bring up Hitler, now their ears are closed. You know what I mean?
I understand that, Mike. But are they not the people that voted for Hitler? Are they not the people that allowed Hitler to do all the things Hitler did? They're telling me because this little fucking dickwad is harassing everybody in the goddamn classroom, and you have three adults to seven kids, and they can't get him to fucking stop, that he's not a bully. That he's not a bully.
What did they say he was?
They didn't say anything. They said, we allow all people to come to our classrooms. And the purpose of pre-K is to get people ready to interact with classes and other people. That's what they said.
They are definitely collaborators.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's why I was upset. Because they sprung this on me. It's not like they gave me the report in advance and said, now we're going to talk about it on this call. They said, no, our findings were he's not a bully because he's bullying everybody. Okay, what part of your anti-bullying policy is he not fulfilling? And I told them, I said, look, I worked for the Boy Scouts of America. I had over 200 kids at events. How many people were bullied at my event? I'll tell you, none. If somebody came to me with a bullying thing, that person was going to go home. There's no toleration for that. And they were saying, well, you know, these kids, they're like 4 or 5 and they're learning to interact and you can't really like tell them this or that or the other thing. And I'm like, the hell you can't. My daughter has hit our son, who's 3 years younger, maybe 5 times, but not as many times as she's been hit in classroom with 3 adults watching.
Right.
So yeah, does a 4-year-old have perfect control over their emotions? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, get that fucker away from my daughter. If their parents aren't going to teach him it's not okay to hit, then he doesn't need to be there. There's no law on the books saying you have to be in pre-K. That's an elective. That's an elective. We chose to put our daughter in pre-K. She doesn't have to go. But the point of the matter is, she shouldn't have to stop because there's some dickwad there.
Right. And this child probably has an IEP, which is why they're protecting the child, I'm going to guess.
Well, it's not even the... And I don't know what an IUP is. I'm terrible with acronyms. I'm an AA, acronyms adverse, but...
Yeah, I'm assuming this child has a mental disability of some variety.
I'm not sure. I mean, my wife talked to him at one of the open houses and met his parents, who she said was... this isn't a direct quote.
What you told me. I don't know if I would say it on the show.
Yeah, I'm not going to... This isn't a direct quote, but my understanding of it was basically something equating along the lines of trailer trash.
Yes.
Which is a terrible, terrible stereotype because lots of very good people live in trailers, as far as I know. I used to live in one, and it was terrible. But that's not the point.
No. I lived in a camper.
Yeah. The point is, when I grew up, regardless of where we lived, if my parents got a phone call from the school saying I was beating on somebody, then that was going to stop, and it was going to stop that night. It wasn't going to be an issue anymore.
Yeah. If my parents would have got a phone call from the school saying that I was bullying or somehow harming the other children, there would have been a reckoning.
Yeah, that would have been the end of it. That would have been the end of it.
That would have been the end of it, for sure. It would have been monitored actively afterwards.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So after that meeting, I immediately emailed the director of student life or whatever. I had emailed him previously, and I gave him 3 or 4 paragraphs of how ridiculous I felt the meeting was. And the meeting ended up with them saying that they were going to, this is good. The assistant superintendent said they were going to have my daughter tell the teacher anytime she was hit. Then my daughter was going to have to go down to the school nurse for an examination so they could collect their own data, despite me telling them that I had pictures of every incident. And then she'd go back and they'd continue their investigation there. And they were going to have the school bus driver follow the reporting protocol that's apparently been in place but hasn't been followed. Because, you know what? The bus driver's fucking driving a bus full of kids. And they should probably be focused on the road and not have to worry about bullies and shit on the bus, right? I was scared to death of my bus driver when I was in elementary school. And he ran the sporting goods shop. So we'd have to go in there and buy like baseball gloves and shit for T-ball. And I was terrified because that guy was scary as fuck. But apparently he was like a super nice guy. But he laid down the law on the bus. I'll tell you that much. So they were like, well, do you have anything else to say? And I said, well, yeah. Yeah, of course I do. You're telling me that because this kid you don't deem a bully is harassing my child, now my child has to take time out of her learning, her educational day, out of her fun time day, go down to the nurse's office and get like harassed by the nurse and photographed by the nurse, and then go back to school. Well, the bully gets nothing. They don't get any consequences. I think what should happen is anybody who gets hit by this student is mandated to go down to the nurse. Mandated. Everybody that gets hit by this kid goes down to the nurse for an evaluation. Every single child. Because you just told me he's not a bully because he's hitting everybody. Well, then everybody goes down to the nurse, not just my daughter. You don't single out my daughter. Everybody goes down to the nurse. Everybody gets an evaluation. And we can get ahead of this. We can get ahead of this. And they were like, well, that's not part of our plan.
Your solution seemed perfectly reasonable to me.
Does it not? Here's where it gets better, Mike. She says, well, I'm going to email out our findings. And I said, well, I want you to put my recommendation in there. She goes, I'm not putting your recommendation in our plan. We already have our plan. And I said, no, I don't want my recommendation in your plan. I want it in the email for the principal who wasn't able to make the meeting. I want it written down so people that weren't at this meeting know what my recommendation was. And she got super pissed at me, dude. So pissed. But she put it in there. It was one sentence, and it was terribly written, but she put it in there. And of course, the principal couldn't make it. The principal didn't follow up after the meeting. She didn't give a fuck.
This is why people hate public schools.
Yes. But they told me they could not suspend the child or expel the child because he has an equal right to be there. They said they were going to talk to the bus driver, and that I would be alerted anytime anything happened, which should have been protocol from day one. Like, I shouldn't have to be hearing it from my four-year-old. I should be informed by the school, hey, your child was hit today in class or on the playground or on the bus. Like, somebody should be telling me. But I'm hearing it from my child. And my child came back and said she had, just this last week, this kid had walked over to her on the bus and hit her and then went and sat down. And I haven't seen an official bus driver report. And I emailed the assistant superintendent and I said, any update on this? Because I emailed you a week ago about her being hit on the bus again. And her response was, we're still looking into this. Well, I don't know how much looking into it takes. Like, I don't need to be judge, jury, and executioner, but to me, it's a pretty clear-cut case of this child should not be on the bus. And Minnesota state law prohibits suspensions for pre-K. And starting in 2025, anybody third grade or younger. But it does not prohibit expulsion.
Sure.
And the definition of bullying, which I have here, bullying means intimidating, threatening, abusive, or harming conduct that is objectively offensive. And there is an actual or perceived imbalance of power between the student engaging in the prohibited conduct and the target of the behavior of the conduct is repeated or forms a pattern or materially or substantially interferes with a student's educational opportunities or performance or ability to participate in school functions or activities or receive school benefits or privileges, which sounds exactly like what's happening to me. Like, I'm not a school lawyer, so I don't know. But the fact that it's been going on for over several months now with no resolution.
Right. To me, it sounds like the child that is the abuser needs to get assessed, and they're dragging their feet on it because the parents probably don't want the child assessed.
Probably not.
I'm going to guess. But clearly it needs to happen.
And well, I mean, that's
I'm not
thing
saying is that they need to medicate the child, but possibly the child needs to go to classes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, something. And so here's where it gets even better, Mike. So the assistant superintendent is saying they can't remove this child because this child very clearly needs the socialization training pre-K offers, right? But now not only is this child hitting my daughter, but one of his friends now is also taken to bullying. In my definition of the term, which is, you know, hitting somebody else for no reason, unprovoked. And so now there are two people that are now bullies in the school because there is no consequence for bullying in the school because all are welcomed here with open arms and we can't do anything about it because they're not bullies. They are harassing everyone. So, and I told them on the meeting, I said, this child's right to be in pre-K and ride the bus ends when he strikes someone else, which he's done repeatedly. And nobody has denied that he's done it repeatedly. They've confirmed that he's done it to everybody in the class. But he's not a bully because he's done it to everyone in the class. And I was talking to my wife about this and I said, well, that's like if I get wasted, I get super drunk, I go down to the city park and I start hitting and screaming at everybody that comes by me. And the police come down and they come and talk to me and they say, you know what, we were called because you were bullying people at the park here. But we've watched you for the past half hour and you've been hitting and screaming at every single person that comes by. And that's not a bully. You carry about your day, sir. You're welcome here in this park. You're welcome to be here because they told me it's a public school. Well, the park is public, but I can't go down there and make an ass of myself and not be asked to leave.
At the very least.
At the very least. That's the whole point. And I understand that is probably most likely not the child's fault. It's probably the fucking parents. Because I did hear and somebody let slip. And I don't know if this is against personal identification information or whatever. But this kid does not ride the bus to school in the morning. But they ride the bus going home from school, you know, midday-ish. But they don't go home. They go to daycare, which is fine.
Sure.
But I'm assuming the daycare also has a problem with this child. And I'm assuming it's probably not because the child has very attentive parents at home, which isn't the child's fault. But it's frustrating that there is no, you know, they say the child needs pre-K because they need to learn how to interact with other people. But you have all these other kids that are being harassed by this child, and this child is now enlisted a second person to hit and bully and name call everybody in the two pre-K classes at the school. And there's no consequences for these bullies. And so what do these other kids think that are good kids that don't hit people, that don't name call people, that just want to go and learn and have fun? Like, what are they learning by this toleration of this behavior? What are the rest of the kids learning? They're learning that some animals are more equal than others.
At the very least. I mean, that would be best case scenario. My main concern, which I did not share, which I didn't share because I figured you already thought of it, and I'm going to share with the listeners.
Yes.
This child's influence, all it's going to do is sour six other kids on school. It's going to damage their potential being around this child.
Yeah, and potentially 12 to 14 others on the playground.
Right, exactly. All it's going to do is sour the experience of the other kids and potentially harm them long term. There might be long term repercussions for the other children. So that's the problem. You have a cancer, you need to cut it out.
Yeah. Cut it out, or at the very least, sternly address it so it doesn't happen again.
Oh, I'm not saying that this child should not be a pre-K, but maybe that child's pre-K should be more like counseling and other services that are required to acclimate them.
Well, yeah, and part of this kind of comes to like the big police debate, right? I mean, we just got through Sparked, and you know, police aren't trained to deal with mental health issues and stuff like that. And there's a whole segment of, I don't know, what most people call crime, but other people would call mental illness, that's being swept under the rug and things, and therapy and all this stuff. And that is probably what this child needs. You know, get him on board now and correct these behaviors, give him good positive outlets instead of negative outlets to express his frustrations or whatever he's dealing with in his life. Because I don't know what his life story is. I don't know what his parents are like. I don't know what his home life is like. Nobody does other than him.
Right. And the school is hurting that child ultimately because
they don't want
to increase the cost of having that child in their district. That's what it's about. They don't want to spend the resources to get the child what they need.
Yeah.
To succeed.
And if they label him a bully, it kicks off a whole slew of protocol they have to follow. And they don't want to do that.
Right. They don't want to do that. Good or bad, right? Good or bad, but
mostly bad, but...
Well, the child clearly needs additional assistance and they don't want to give it to the child.
Yes. But yeah, I think... Like, I know it's... Like, the kid's only 4 or 5 being in pre-K, so it can't be all his fault. And that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying you have a problem, you got to remove the problem or solve the problem or resolve the problem. So
yeah, doing nothing is not the solution.
No, and it's setting a terrible example for the other kids in the class where, you know, we work very hard at home to enforce rules to the point where I have to say the same things I say to my 4-year-old to my 1-year-old. Because otherwise the 4-year-old is like, well, how come he gets to do it? Well, he doesn't. Right. He just doesn't understand, but she doesn't understand that. Like, a 4-year-old doesn't understand, a 1-year-old doesn't understand what a 4-year-old understands. They don't understand the difference of, you know, maturity and balance and things. And I got upset because they were playing and having fun, but what she was doing was fairly dangerous or potentially dangerous to the 1-year-old because the 1-year-old doesn't have the same balance a 4-year-old has. And so I said, you need to stop. Then she got upset and threw a tantrum because she's 4. Like, I understand. And then I went and talked to her and I said, look, I'll tell you why I told you to stop. And you can always ask me. You can always ask me why I'm telling you one thing or another thing. Like, I want you to ask me. You can ask me if you don't understand. That's not a problem. I would love to explain to you why, what the reasoning is behind these things. And the reason is he doesn't have the same balance that you have. And if it were to get to a certain point and he were to bounce or trip or stumble or lose his balance, he doesn't have the same balance and reflexes you have, you know, because the whole point of kids is you're not raising a child, you're raising an adult. And I don't want her to do what I say because I say it. I want her to understand why. Like, I want her to ask why and question why and do that stuff. Why? Which I think kids do anyway. Because she's done that and kind of called me out on not holding the 1-year-old to the same standards as the 4-year-old, which sounds silly if you've had a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old because they're vastly different. But I've been saying the same things now to both of them, which has alleviated a lot of the tension, which is great. But it's the same thing in the classroom, is you can't let a bully keep bullying and tell the other kids not to hit back or not to hit or not to do things, because there's absolutely zero consequence for the bully. There's no consequence. He gets to go to recess. He doesn't have detention. He gets to ride the bus. He gets to do all the fun things. There's not one single thing negative happening to him. And instead, when my kid gets bullied, she has to go to the nurse's station now.
Right. Has level 4 been enacted yet? We can talk about that after the show.
I've told her, and she has said she has enacted level 4, but I don't know that I necessarily believe her because she's such a sweetheart. But we've been, she'll every once in a while go, look, Dad, look. And she'll put her, because I taught her the defensive stance, right, with the two arms up and the fists. And I taught her how to punch without breaking her thumb and without breaking her wrist. And so she's been punching the pillow. And I've recently graduated her up to punching my shoulder so sure. She can get a sense of what it feels like to actually hit someone, which sounds super sick, right? Like, I get it. Like, I'm not trying to train her to be Rocky Balboa or something, but it's a whole mentality to hit somebody back.
Oh, for sure.
That's very different. And I've only ever hit my cousin, and he had it coming a long time over. He gave me stitches. Because he hit me with a metal bus toy that we had when we were kids. But in middle school, my best friend and I, mostly my best friend, was getting bullied by this kid who was held back, I think, 2 years. He was huge. And I'm a tall guy now, but he was way taller than either of us. And one day in class, it just got so bad that after class, in the hallway, and he was probably a good foot taller than I am because he was 2 years older than I was. And I pinned him against the wall and I said, you leave us alone. And that somehow shook him. And but you know what the funny thing was? Is the three of us became very good friends after that.
Oh, sure.
But we were all men, so that's different, I guess, too. But
oh,
we
yeah,
all became good friends.
That's a common thing amongst men is to fight.
I know nothing about that, Mike. We've never done that.
Right, exactly. Fighting amongst men is pretty normal behavior. To push each other to the limit and see where it's at, you know?
Well, it's a good character test, isn't it, Mike?
Right, it is. It is. See how the chips fall or whatever, you know?
So my next step, and I haven't done this yet, is I am going to file a form with the State Education Board and name the people that I've been working with at the school level.
Well, hopefully that'll give them a kick in the ass.
Well, it's going to be that, or it's going to be I'm going to get a phone call and say we had to physically pull your daughter off of this other child in class. And then after the 5 minutes pass of me laughing and hooting and hollering and cheering, and breaking into my reserve whiskey, then I'll say, oh dear, oh no, what do you mean? And they'll say all she would tell us was that she was told to beat him like a drum. And then my only question will be, well, did she?
Yeah, did she do it?
Yeah, how was it? Do you have video? I'd love to see this. Because, you know, unfortunately, bullies, if you can't nip it in the bud, the only thing they respond to is equal or greater force.
Oh, for sure.
Most bullies don't want to be hit. They don't want any resistance whatsoever. That's why they do it, you know?
Oh, for sure. It's kind of like the idea that little junkies turn into big junkies. So,
yeah. And I understand this kid's only 4 or 5. I'm not trying to launch a personal vendetta against this child.
No.
I just want to say I'm trying to equip my child because she's going to deal with a lifetime of this. As I did, as you did, as everybody did. Everybody deals with this at some point in their life, which is an unfortunate aspect of life, but it is an aspect of life. And if she can learn to deal with it now, it will help her in the future.
Right.
That's all. I wanted to make it clear, especially clear, that initially my 4-step plan only had 3 steps, which is tell them to stop, remove yourself from the situation, find an adult and tell them. And I worked with her and I said, when you tell him to stop hitting you, what does it sound like? And she demonstrated, and I said, well, that's not nearly loud enough. And I'm like, how do you scream at your brother when he's playing with one of your toys? That's how loud you need to be when you tell this kid to stop. And we practiced that. And she said that she screamed so loud once on the bus that the bus driver took notice, which I think is probably pretty loud. They have music blasting, usually kids' music blasting, when they drop her off in the afternoon. So that step was working just fine in terms of how it was intended, but the results weren't coming.
Right.
So there has to be another step. There's always another step.
There has to be.
Yeah. The next step, if the form with the state education department doesn't work, is to rely on some of Mike's 4chan buddies to find out where these people live. And we're going to do some doxing. Sure as shit.
Oh, no. Some of Mike's 4chan buddies. That is, I think that's a new meme for the show. I'll call it the Brony Army.
Yeah, the Brony Army.
It wouldn't take much of a sleuth to find out where those fuckers are.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No. It would be pretty easy.
Oh, I'm going to, I don't know. I've got about an inch left of this.
I am already done.
I don't even know if I want to call this a cigar, Mike. I don't know what I want to call it, an abomination. Like I said, this is a 4 or 5 year old. They don't know any better because nobody's told them any better. All my experiences with children, and I've had a lot through the Boy Scouts and all of that. You set your boundaries and you're firm in your boundaries and it generally resolves itself, you know, especially the younger they are. The boundaries you set, you deviate from the boundaries, there's a punishment. They don't want the punishment, so they don't do the thing anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that hard of a concept.
No, it's not. Here's the line, don't cross it. And if you do, you're gone.
Yeah, exactly. Which is the same for adults, you know, you cross this line and you're in jail or whatever else. So.
Right.
Anyway, what do you think of the cigar, Mike?
Well, the good news is the burning tire taste went away.
Did it though? Did it?
Yeah, I would say about midway through the cigar, okay. It just became acidic.
I felt like it got better, but smoke. I just took the last puff I'm going to take of this thing, and the aftertaste is just horrendous.
Oh, don't blow it out your nose. Do not.
No,
blow
I don't. It out I don't normally nose. Do that. I don't normally do that. You know,
I do.
I'm just going to give it a 0.7. Like, it's slightly worse than the Connecticut, but not like a 0.5 level. But it's like, it's slightly worse than the Connecticut somehow because of the burnt taste. But I don't know, man. Like, the Connecticut was almost like consistently worse throughout. But this one was terrible. It got slightly better, but then terrible again. So I don't know, man. It's not good. These are terrible, terrible cigars. Terrible.
They are not good. I do not recommend it at all. There are so many other options.
Yeah, man.
Right. Of the 125 cigars we have on this list, there are at least 120 that are better.
Well, 120. If there's 125 cigars on the list and there's four of these, there's at least 121 better than this. With the exception possibly being the Culp Blood Red Moon.
The Culp Blood Red Moon is awful.
I feel like, but if you do it tequila style, like Mike said, then it's better. And I think, but I don't know if I'd rather smoke one of these than the Underground Shade because that was terrible too. Like, and it wasn't even better by the tequila. And these are just gross. These are gross. I know there's been some ones that we hated, the Culp Blood Red Moon and the Underground Shade.
So these are, the CAO, Bella Vanilla, and Eileen's Dream re-rated very poorly as well.
Yeah.
And I feel that these are better than that.
I don't think so, man. I think
I'd rather smoke those. I'm sorry. Worse than that.
Yeah. 100%. 100% worse. Yeah, I'd rather smoke anything other than this, I feel.
Right. Not a cult. That cult is vile. Absolutely despicable. Underground Shade is the last one. We had a one.
Yeah.
Is it the last one? I think it was. No, it was not. The Baccarats. The three Baccarats.
Those are bad, but they're not this bad, I don't think.
I are think that these bad? Are worse than the Baccarats.
These have to be worse than the Baccarats.
I think these are worse. Let's see. Other
these
ones.
These are nasty. Ones. I don't even
these
know.
These are bad. I think we're getting more harsh in our criticism over time, potentially, but...
But you said burnt rubber. This is burnt rubber. I don't know.
Burnt rubber. It does have burnt
harsh.
Rubber. That's pretty bad.
That's not good. It's not a good flavor profile.
Yeah, I don't want to go lower than a one only because...
I know, the sanctity of the worse. Rating system, but...
Yeah, sanctity
we've also
of the
gone
one.
We've also gone above the five for some,
well,
so...
going above the five for the moon trance is perfectly acceptable to me.
I'm not saying it wasn't justified. No. I'm saying that this is also justified to go below the one, because these are gross.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't recommend it, that's for sure. I would say that if I got offered a Rico.
Yeah, you'd reevaluate your
Rico
friendship.
Barato,
you'd reevaluate your friendship.
Yeah. I'm like, these are fighting words.
Yeah. If you want to throw down, just, you know, throw down. You don't have to
do that a cigar invite thing. To a gunfight at the OK Corral kind of situation.
Just take off your gloves, slap me across the face. Let's do this.
So, I cannot. Not recommend this more, right? Like I could,
yeah.
Please,
it's
terrible.
Please do not buy these.
No.
Also, I did look at a lot of Reddit threads, and a lot of people were very much, they're only four. They shouldn't be fighting. And every four-year-old hits. And I was kind of like, what? Every four-year-old hits. My daughter plays with other four-year-olds, and nobody gets hit. Like, all day, nobody gets hit. There's no hitting. Like, there doesn't have to be hitting. She hits when she's frustrated, you know, and I stop that, and I tell her no, and she understands that. You know, she's come to understand that. That's not to say that no four-year-old ever hits, but it's not a common response, and it shouldn't be a common response. There, you teach them how to get their emotions out in other ways. Like, that's the whole point.
Yeah, I know it's not directly equivalent. That's like people saying, oh, all dogs bite. Like,
yeah.
No,
yeah,
that's not how that works. I like, all puppies nibble, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, and like, all cats
nibbling
claw
turns
nip.
To biting.
Yeah.
I mean, they can. All dogs can bite, yeah. too. Yeah, they can.
Well, yeah. But they all have the potential, right? I mean, right. Every dog, if put in the certain situation, might bite. Some dogs would never, ever bite. And some people would never, ever fight back. But right. I would have to say those would be the outliers. I mean, most people and most dogs would bite or fight back. If they're put in such a dire circumstance or situation, there's a reason. It's called the fight or flight response.
I agree.
Anyway, don't raise assholes. Teach your kids, set boundaries. Teach your dogs, set boundaries. Good fucking luck with the cats, I guess. And thanks for listening.
Don't smoke Rico Barato cigars.
Fuck no, don't do it.
And be safe, have fun.